I've been so much encouraged by the faithfulness of people around me in the midst of extraordinary trials, and you, like me, who love June and Kay and their families, have been made again and again aware of how much we're dependent people and how glorious our sovereign God is. And I've been talking about it for ages, and I wanted to go back and spend a little bit of time in Song of Solomon. For those of you who were with us when we were doing Song of Solomon, it was just such a sweet book of the Bible. Song of Solomon is just the book before the Gospel of Isaiah, so it comes after the wisdom literature of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, so it's right about in the middle of the Scriptures. But it's a glorious, glorious picture, a glorious picture of the love relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride in this world. It speaks in the most extraordinary ways that only God can speak of his love for his bride, the extraordinary love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his bride, the extraordinary love that he creates in her for him, and how again and again and again she, like us, even though she's experienced the most amazing things of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most amazing things in his presence and the most amazing things in his providence and in his promises, and yet again and again and again she finds herself absent from the Lord and wondering where he is, and in her sinfulness he leaves her and she goes looking for him. And it's just a glorious picture. If you are given the grace to see this book through spiritual eyes, you'll find it the most delightful picture and the most real picture, the most real picture. And it begins with a wonderful prayer of the church, isn't it? It says, the Song of Songs, which of Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let him kiss me with his word. What comes from his mouth is his word. For thy love is better than wine, because of the savour of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love me, love thee. And then this amazing prayer, you draw me to yourself, and we will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. And then she speaks of who she is. She says, I'm black. I'm black. In myself, I'm nothing but black, but comely. In him, I'm nothing but beautiful. Nothing but beautiful. Then she prays in verse 7 of chapter 1, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. He makes his flock to rest. He brings, verse 4 of chapter 2, he brings his bride into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His banner over all of his church is love. And she misses him, and he comes again, and she's caused to go searching for him. And then he causes him to be found, and he causes her to utter the most remarkable words. And even after in chapter 5, the depth of her terrible wickedness, where she's just evil in the most extraordinary way, rejecting him and rejecting his presence, and she goes searching for him, she's made to say the most beautiful words about him. Even when he's absent, it's a glorious picture, isn't it? Even when he's absent, even when he's absent because of our sin, she's still given opportunity when she's asked that question, what is he to you? What is he to you? What is this beloved more than any other beloved? Oh, thou fairest among men, what is it? Who? What is he to you? And then she speaks and she starts at his head and goes to his feet, and he says, he's the chiefest among 10,000. this is my friend. She calls him her friend. And when she finds him again, having suffered his absence because of her sin, listen to the words. He says to her in chapter 6, verse 4, thou art beautiful, my love. In verse 5, he says, turn thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. He's overcome by the beauty of this, his bride. But in chapter 8, I just want to spend a little bit of time just looking at this glorious verse when he's back in her company. And this is a description of all of the church of God. Who is, verse 5 of chapter 8, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Leaning on her beloved. This world is a wilderness. This world without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is a wilderness to all of his people. But I just love that description of all of the children of God. This is a picture of the church of God. The church of God is coming up from the wilderness, leaning on the beloved, leaning on the beloved, on her beloved. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved of all of his people. That word her means possessive, doesn't it? He's my beloved. He's my beloved. He's my beloved. There's no point him being a beloved out there if he's not my beloved. God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father describes him as such, but so does his bride, my beloved. Is her beloved your beloved? The Lord Jesus says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything that you need in this world will be added unto you. She now, having had communion disturbed, is wanting to not have it disturbed again. That's what leaning is about. He's the beloved, isn't he? She leans on a beloved. He's the beloved of his Father. He's the beloved of the angels. He's the beloved of his redeemed. He's the beloved of his bride. He's the beloved to her. He's beloved. And she leans. She leans. There are several things about leaning that are so important, aren't there? Leaning implies a dependence. I'm leaning because I don't have the strength to support myself. What keeps people from heaven? What keeps people from relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not your sin, but it's your righteousness. People believe that they are righteous. They believe that they have some strength in themselves. And she's leaning. A vine that grows most fruitful has to lean. But to lean, there has to be a nearness. There has to be a presence. And to lean, there must be a sure thing and a nearby thing. What was the greatest desire of the church? I want to be with him. What was Mary's great desire when he'd been absent and she saw him? She clung to him. She clung to him. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ clings to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we lean on a sure thing, and we lean on one that is nearby. And we lean by faith. I love what Hebrews 11 says, that faith, true living faith that's come from God as an object in the true and living one, is the substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. That word substance means the ground, means the confidence. True faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. It is the evidence, the one evidence. Is faith, and faith leans. Faith leans because faith is dependent. And in the Song of Solomon, we have the wonder of the beauty of the intimacy of the bride with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again and again, it's pictured in so many ways. And if the blessed Holy Spirit would give you the eyes to see, that you would find that Scripture interprets Scripture, and you'll find again and again they're just pictures from throughout the Scriptures of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and his closeness to him. To lean is to believe his word of promise. What's his promise to his church when he left and went to glory? He said, I am with you. How long? I am with you always. Until when? Until the end of the world. Such is the glory of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the great I am, that God, the God who met and revealed himself to Moses at the bush, the great I am the way, the truth and the life, I am the resurrection of life, I am the only way to the Father, I am life itself, I am eternal life. I am with you, I am with you. And Song of Solomon wants us to know again and again and again that his desire is for us. He's a faithful husband. He's a faithful lover of his bride. His desire is towards us. He loves his people. He loves his bride. As we saw earlier, he loves her everlastingly. He loves her eternally. He loves her knowingly. He loves her providentially. He works all things so that she will be in his arms. So he is so near that you can lean. You can't lean on someone who's a long way away. You lean on him because he's near. He's with you. You lean on someone who can help. He's a living God. He's alive now and he's here now. And his church is the body and he's the head. You can't be separated from him. When you pass through the waters, Messiah says, when you pass through the waters, you will pass through many waters in this world, brothers and sisters in Christ. Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, you'll actually pass through them. That doesn't mean that the waters aren't going to affect you, but I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, because I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and cedar for thee, since thou was precious in my sight. Thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for the life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. And listen to his description of his bride. And everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. These ones that he's loved, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We can't be outside of the presence of God. In him we live and move and have our being. To lean on him is to have communion with him, isn't it? It's to talk to him. It's to lay our lives out before him and say, this is who I am. This is the circumstances of my life. I can't see the sun shining above the darkness of the clouds, but you make the clouds and you make the sunshine and you determine all the circumstances of my life. We are in him and he is in us. You can lean when he's so close. When he's so close, brothers and sisters, you can lean. You can lean. To lean is to have the weight lifted off you and put on another. To lean is to be in need. You have that amazing promise, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. Lean on him. There is a sacred union between him and his bride. And so you lean on him. To lean is to be in need. To lean implies a dependence. What a wilderness. What a wilderness this world is. What a wilderness this world is without the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wilderness this world is when our sin entangles us. What's the sin that so easily entangles the children of God? What's the sin that easily entangles? Not every. It's unbelief, isn't it? We just simply do not believe how glorious he is. We simply do not believe who he is. We don't believe his absolute sovereignty. We don't believe his word. What a terrible, terrible entanglement unbelief is. We don't believe that he's made a covenant. We don't believe that he declares that we are perfect in him. We don't lean. We lean on his person for acceptance with God by faith. We lean upon his righteousness for justification. We lean upon his fullness for our daily supply. Out of his fullness have we received grace for grace. We lean upon his blood for pardon and for cleansing. We lean upon him for the full weight of all of my salvation. All of my eggs are in one basket. Nowhere else. I don't look to myself or anything I've done. I can't even look to what I'm doing now. Look, faith looks away. Faith lays hold. Faith leans. Leaning implies a dependence. Leaning implies weakness. We are just weak. We are frail. We have no strength. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Only the grace of God makes us to be like children. When we're not like children, we're conscious of our strength. I love how John says in John 13 that he was leaning on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. At that supper that pictured the death and the burial and the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, John just leant. Isn't it amazing that God Almighty dines with his people, feeds with his people, rejoices together with his people, and allows us to lean on him? Allows us to lean in. I just am I'm captivated by the closeness and the intimacy of that. What was John? A sinner. What was he going to do that night? Run away. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ shows us again and again that he came into this world to save sinners. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot lean too hard. You cannot lean too often. In fact, if you lean totally, all the weight's gone from you altogether, isn't it? And it's all on him, and that's how far God causes his people to lean. We lean on him. This is what it is to be coming up out of the wilderness. Coming up out of the wilderness. What a glorious description of God's children. They're always coming up to him, coming. We're always coming to him. We're always coming to lean on him. We're always coming up out of this wilderness. We're coming up to a heavenly Jerusalem. We are the children of God, just like the Hebrews. We are a people from another place. We're coming up. We're coming up, leaning. We're coming up leaning. She was leaning because the way had been revealed to her as perilous if she was left to her own devices. You can read about it in chapter 5 and chapter 3. If you left to her own devices, this world was perilous. The scriptures describe this world in Deuteronomy 32 as a waste, howling wilderness. Sin is mighty, the flesh is weak. We have a fight, and it's not against flesh and blood. And when we are one with him, we find ourselves in a war in this world. But we can come up. We can come up leaning on her beloved. Just let me finish by reading verse 6 and 7 of chapter 8. She says, as she's leaning, as she's coming up, she says to the Lord Jesus Christ, set me as a seal upon thine heart. A seal, a picture of a covenant. Set me as a seal upon thy heart. A seal upon thine arm of strength, thine arm of power. And listen to the description of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. For love is strong as death. Jealous. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals thereof of the coals of fire, which has the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. You cannot buy this love. This love comes as a grace gift. Our Lord Jesus Christ dwells in the gardens of his church where his gospel is proclaimed and he is raised up. And his people are made to lean. His people are made to rest in him. Like Lazarus, they recline with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel comes to them not as good advice about what they have to do. It says good news about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It's good news about who he is. If he is for me, nothing else matters. And that's exactly what he declares. How do we lean? I'll finish with verse 13 of chapter 8 of Song of Solomon. She leant because he was near. She leant because she had a need. She leant because the way was perilous. She leant because she couldn't trust in her own standing. And then she speaks of him, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. This is a wonderful prayer. Pray it with me. Cause me to hear it. Cause me to hear your voice. That's that voice, isn't it? Let him, at the beginning, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Cause me to hear your voice. Heavenly Father, make us dependent. Make us to know how dependable the one we lean upon is. He'll carry you. He's promised. He's promised to carry his people. He's promised to rejoice over them with singing. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 40, verse 11. And shall gently lead those who are with young. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, how much we are caused to rejoice in the wonders and the glories of your dear and precious Son. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the glory of his presence with us, that he's so close that we can lean. He makes us so dependent that he causes us to lean. And he is so near that we can lean all the time. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would cause us to contemplate once again how much that love cost our dear and precious Saviour, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree and went to Calvary's tree, scorned by men, suffering your infinite wrath for all the sins that were laid upon him. Oh, our Father, he bled and died, was buried, and yet Heavenly Father, together with him, we are raised to newness of life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the infinite love of your dear and precious Son that took into all of that, into this wilderness world, that he might find his bride in a wilderness and bring her to himself and purify her and make her holy in his holiness. Cause her to be one without spot before him. Cause her to be one that is so beautiful in his sight that his desire is toward her. Heavenly Father, we do pray again that you would cause his blood to be seen as precious, for his blood to be seen as efficacious, for his blood to be seen as perfectly sufficient, Heavenly Father, to wash us, wash all of his people from all of our sins, that we stand before you, our Father, holy and spotless, unblameable and unreprovable in your sight. Hallelujah, our Father. What a glorious Saviour. We thank you and praise you, our Father, in his precious name. Amen.